Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review tonight. We're continuing with our course, Cornerstones of Truth. This is our bachelor's degree course, our third course in our bachelor's in practical ministry program. Tonight we're on session number 5, which is dealing with the Holy Spirit, a wise administrator. Now this session will teach the students who the Holy Spirit is and how he ministers to non-believers, individual believers, and the body of believers, which is the church. This lesson will teach us that it is not possible in any single session to teach all that we need to know about the Holy Spirit. This session is not designed to teach us everything about being filled with the Spirit or living in the Spirit, but much of what we will talk about tonight will expose you to important truths such as the gifts of the Spirit. So remember, this is not an exhaustive study of the Holy Spirit. If you've been part of our associates program, you know you've studied another course entitled Your Helpful Friend. And this will add more, another layer of understanding for our students tonight. So this session, if you have questions about the Holy Spirit or you're not sure about whether you received him or what that means, this session is sufficient to create in students a desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to allow him to produce in their lives the fruit of Christ-likeness, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we'll have another course later in this program entitled Abundant Living, which will deal more with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So as we prepare for this week's lesson review, we want to, as we always do, we want to pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Even if you don't quite understand what that means, but you're asking for the strength and the peace and the presence of God to quicken your understanding, come upon you in a supernatural way to cause you to understand things in ways that cannot be comprehended by our finite thinking and our carnal mind. So whenever we speak of the Holy Spirit, we're speaking of a supernatural power of God that comes upon us, that empowers us to do things that we could not normally or do in our natural selves. So we want to pray for that empowerment upon us as we learn and as we teach tonight. Also, some of you may have questions that may be raised about the Holy Spirit as we go through this lesson. And we're going to pray for all of our staff members as they teach it in network training centers that God will give them inspired wisdom in order to respond in the right way. And I also want to say to our network training center directors that we have a precious promise that the Lord has given us based on what the Apostle James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So even now, let's ask the Lord to fulfill this promise for us and for each and every student and staff member of the school. Father, we thank you now. We praise you. We thank you for your precious gift of Jesus. We thank you for the gift that he gave, which is the Holy Spirit. We pray now that you will meet every student and staff member's individual needs, every person under the sound of my voice. I pray that, Father, if they desire to have this baptism of your Holy Spirit, that you will baptize them afresh tonight. Maybe some be for renewal, maybe some being baptized for the first time. We ask that you will grant this to us as we place our faith in the power of Jesus' name, and that you will honor your word over our lives to fill us with your Spirit, O God. And we thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. Tonight we're going over our bachelor's degree course. We're continuing our study of our bachelor's degree course entitled Cornerstones of Truth. And we're on session 5 tonight, which is the Holy Spirit, a wise administrator. Now, as we think about the introduction for this lesson, as you review through your study guides, we're going to open it with giving each and every one of you an opportunity to think about or express your ideas concerning the Holy Spirit. Many of us have heard the term, if we're a Christians or we read the Bible, may have come across the words Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. There may be some questions you have that none of us can definitively answer for you, but as we read the scripture from James, that if any of us lack wisdom, including our instructors, we can seek God. We can ask God, who promises to give it liberally to us. And we have to respect each other's opinions or questions. There's no wrong questions to ask. We just have to seek God for the correct understanding. And we want to thank God tonight. We want to thank Him for allowing us to study these lessons. And I want each and every one of you to feel free to offer questions that you may have. Contact us by email or our chat line, or give us a call, and we will certainly address the questions together with you. We always want to look at what the Bible teaches about it. It's one of the most consistent ways that we can examine what the Scripture teaches about the questions we have. Now, here's something else I want you to think about. For those of you who may have already experienced the Holy Spirit, I want you to think about the first time that you first heard about the Holy Spirit, and I want you to compare that to the attitudes that you have now. When you first heard of it, maybe you were not even a believer in Christ. You may not have been a person who was familiar with the Bible. What did you think when you first heard the term Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost? And compare that to what you think now, that you have experienced God, or the thoughts that you have at this present moment. And here are some questions that may stimulate your thinking. If you have a blank sheet of paper, feel free to jot down any thoughts that come to your mind. For this is one of the key ways that I have experienced the Holy Spirit working, because usually when we speak of the Holy Spirit speaking or talking to us, it's usually through our thoughts from what my experience have been. It's not usually with audible words that we hear from the outside. It's almost like a voice that we hear on the inside. That is one of the best ways that I can express to you my initial experience with the Holy Spirit, or recognizing that it was the Holy Spirit. So here are some questions to stimulate our thinking as we talk about this particular section. Here's a question to think about. What did you think of when you first heard the term Holy Spirit? Try to think back, take a time to think about that for just a moment. And write down any thoughts that come to your mind on a blank sheet of paper. Usually write down the first thing. The first thing that comes to your mind is usually the most unfiltered thought. And you can feel free to share these with us as you contact the school. Another question to stimulate our thinking about this is, how did you feel when you heard people speak about receiving the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit speaking to them? Or you may have heard someone say that they were speaking in tongues, or which we come to know as languages, other languages. How did you feel when you were first exposed to this type of thinking, as compared to what you may understand now? And even write down some questions that you still may have. We're in a Bible college program because we're here to learn and to grow in our understanding. So you don't have to feel embarrassed about questions if you have questions even to this day about what the Holy Spirit represents. And hopefully this lesson will help to bring a little better understanding to you also. In addition to, as we think about this point, about what did we think of when we first heard people talking about the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit speaking to them, or speaking in tongues, many of us may have thought that sounds so incredible. Others may have thought that, hey, that sounds unbelievable. Maybe they're just imagining things or making things up. One of the things I want to point out to us as we go through this lesson and as you examine your own thoughts, I'd like to point out that the Holy Spirit is always with us. He's present in us. Whether we recognize it or not, Holy Spirit is trying to communicate with us, sometimes through thoughts, feelings, directing us in different ways. We're going to talk about some of those things today. But as I mentioned earlier, usually it's not with an audible voice. even though that is not beyond the scope of one of the ways that the Holy Spirit can manifest. For the Holy Spirit has many ways. It may not be similar to everybody else around you. He may communicate with you in a different way. As we go through the scriptures, we see that the Holy Spirit manifested in many different ways to many different believers. The Apostle Paul had an experience that many others in the Bible did not. And the early disciples had an experience on Pentecost that many other believers did not. But it was the self-same Spirit that was communicating to each and every one of the believers. So you don't have to feel as if your testimony or experience must be similar to others. Let's look at two more. Let's think about two more questions in this introduction before we get into some of the meat of this week's lesson. What difference in meaning is there, if any, between the terms Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit? Sometimes you hear different these words used, sometimes interchangeably. Sometimes you'll see the term Holy Ghost used. Sometimes you see the term or hear the term Holy Spirit. Let's try to understand this a little bit better. Now, the term Holy Ghost appears in most older versions of the Bible, such as the King James Version or the Authorized Version. But many or most modern translations use the term Holy Spirit. Sometimes you may even see the older versions use both terms interchangeably, such as in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance," or as the Holy Spirit empowered them. In this particular case, both terms, Holy Ghost and Spirit, are translated from the same Greek word, which is pneuma. And that word means breath or wind. Okay, so we see that these two terms may be used differently based on the versions that you read. But both words, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, are rooted from the same Greek word, which means wind or breath. And a fourth question to spur our thinking about who the Holy Spirit is, how He expresses, and what our understanding and thoughts are about it is, when you studied this lesson, for those of you who have already studied this lesson and went through your study guide, what impressed you the most as you studied this week's lesson? And I want you to write down some of your thoughts. It's important that you listen to what you're thinking, because a lot of times the Holy Spirit is spurring our thinking or causing us to think of things in order to correct, lead, guide, or direct us. For He is a counselor, He's a comforter, He's a guide to us. And so I pray that these questions will help to generate some thought, some healthy thought patterns about you. It's not wrong to question things. Without questioning things, we would never seek the true answers. And so I pray that for those of you who still have questions, or that this lesson will help answer the questions that you have. And we also here at the school, we are available to assist you and to seek God together with you based on scripture and through prayer and other ways in which God can reveal Himself to us. Now, let's talk about the first section of the lesson, which spoke to us about symbols of the Holy Spirit. There were certain symbols, figures that were used to represent the Holy Spirit's activity or presence and or manifestation in the life of those that we read about in the scriptures. Now, you can see a chart in your study guide. If you were to go through this lesson in your study guide, there's a chart on page 101 which talks about some of these symbols. And let's go over some of those symbols now, which represents ways that the Holy Spirit was symbolized in scriptures. One of the things that we see the scripture mentions as a symbol of the Holy Spirit was fire. So let's think about what those things represent and what they mean. Fire, when it was used to talk about the Holy Spirit, it says in Acts 2 that as they were praying, the Holy Spirit came down upon them in cloven tongues of fire. And usually fire means that things are being burned away, burning away that which is not pure. in order to make it more pure. And Paul talked about fire being used to help purify our faith, which is to take away the part of our faith that still operates in unbelief and doubt. Sometimes fire takes away fear and gives us boldness, or it represents an empowerment of our natural limitations in order that, again, as I mentioned to you earlier, the supernatural empowerment of God can come upon our lives. We also see in the scriptures that sometimes the Holy Spirit was represented by a dove. And a dove generally represented gentleness. Another place we will see in scripture text where anointing oil or oil was used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And this usually represented a sign of the Lord's approval for service or the empowerment of God upon someone. Then we also see that sometimes the Holy Spirit was talked about as a gift. And we, to understand that better, we know that the Holy Spirit is the Father's gift to us, that he wanted to present to those who have placed their faith in Jesus and have been baptized in his name. You can see in the book of Acts chapter 2 where it talks about that. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit we see as we go through our lesson and look at scripture is streams of living water. Streams of living water. It speaks to the fact that the Holy Spirit fills us to overflowing, where we won't thirst. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well that if you had asked me for water, I would have given you water from which you would never have thirst again. He was speaking of living water as a symbol for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Also, we'll see that there was some times where the Holy Spirit was mentioned, I think in Paul's letters, as a seal or a deposit, which means that it was a guarantee of eternal life with the Father. He seals us with the Holy Spirit, which means that we have been set apart for God. Hallelujah. And also we can see another example of, as I mentioned earlier to you, that another symbol or two symbols of the Holy Spirit is breath or wind. And both of these words represent life-giving breath of God. Life-giving breath of God. So when God in the beginning created man, he breathed into man's nostrils. He gave him life-giving breath. God began to live inside of the body that God had created, and says man became a living soul. So these are some of the symbols that you may see that's mentioned as referring to the Holy Spirit in the scripture, and we understand what the symbol means or represents. Now, I also like to comment to you, students, that this is a great time for you to review the influence of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see through the second part of our review today of how being impacted, imparted, and empowered by the Holy Spirit should affect our lives. We realize that God looks for the fruit of the Spirit. He looks for evidence of the Spirit living in us. And we're going to look at some examples in Scripture in ways that the presence of the Holy Spirit was evidenced in the lives of those who had this encounter with God. And I pray, saints, I pray, students, that each and every one of you have experienced or desire to experience God in this way. So now let's go over an exercise sheet that's going to ask us some pertinent questions about the lesson to give us a little better understanding now. And if you're in the classroom, of course, your instructor will give you a copy of the exercise sheet. And I'm going to go over the questions. You can always contact us and get a copy by email if you're a distance education student. But if you have a blank sheet of paper, you can write down some of these questions and or your own responses to these, because this is a very personal lesson. Because, as I mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily communicate or manifest himself to each person in the same way. But it has the same results, lives being transformed, life being changed. So here's the first question that we want to ask you from our exercise sheet tonight is, what part did the Holy Spirit play in your salvation? You see the personal nature of the question, because every person may answer this question differently, but I want you to think about, what part did the Holy Spirit play in your salvation? Or what part do you desire that he will play? Things that he will empower you to do or overcome. I want you to think about that. And as you meditate upon it, our lesson points us to some things that we should think about. The lesson points us to the fact that the Spirit works in many different ways according to our individual circumstances, but in each case, it is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sin and draws us to Christ. Maybe make us feel guilty about something that we said or done, or make us desire to be changed in some way. That's the movement of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Also, the Holy Spirit performs in us the miracle of the new birth or regeneration, making us, as Paul says, a new creation, putting the life of Christ within us, giving us a new desire, setting us free from sinful habits, and enabling or empowering us to be Christ-like. These are all some of the roles that the Holy Spirit plays in the salvation of those who receive this gift. A second question. We believe that the Holy Spirit is present in every born-again believer, but not every believer has been baptized in the Spirit. What makes the difference, or what is the difference between having the Holy Spirit present in you and being baptized by the Holy Spirit? Let's try to get a little understanding from what our lesson brought to our attention, and also you can take a look at some of these scripture references that I will give you. Now, since the Holy Spirit is the agent in conversion, that it is the manifestation of God's character that interacts with us in this way, you can see an example for this in John chapter 16, verses 10. John 16, verse 8 through 10. We also understand that the Holy Spirit lives in all true believers. Paul notes that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. You can see a reference for that in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So from what we've talked about and what those scriptures mentioned to us, is the Spirit's coming at the new birth that constitutes the beginning of a spiritual life. This is the seed that of God that is planted inside of those who place their faith in Christ that begins the birthing process, where you become what we speak of as being born again. That means you start from the beginning. You start over with God. Also, we may see a subsequent experience that may be available to believers, which is known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can look in Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 for an example of that, where we'll see Jesus instructed his disciples to wait for the gift of the Father that would confirm their post-conversion experience. Yes, see, they had already believed upon the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been followers of Christ. They had been submitted to his teachings. But Jesus knew they needed something beyond that would empower them to have a transformed mind, a transformed life, to burn away their fears and doubts, and to enable them to do that which they were not naturally able to do. So Jesus instructed his early disciples to wait until they received the gift that would come from the Father, which we know as the Holy Spirit. A third question let's think about quickly is, what unusual event occurred when the early believers were baptized in the Spirit? Well, we see at Jerusalem, Caesarea, and also at Ephesus, the believers spoke in other languages. Sometimes the scripture says other tongues, but that means other languages, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are several reasons for this that are very practical in nature. We refer to this as sometimes the initial physical evidence for the early disciples that their lives had been changed and empowered to do something supernatural. that would not only be a witness to them, but be more of a witness to others who knew, in the case of Acts chapter 2, that these men were Galileans and that they spoke a certain language. But after this experience of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were able or enabled to speak in other languages that they had not learned naturally. That is one of the initial physical evidences to the early disciples and to those who were witnesses of their testimony on this day of Pentecost. So there are many other evidences also, including the fruit of the Spirit, which we will talk about a little bit later. But here we talk about the speaking in other languages as a sign that convinced Peter and those who followed them on the day of Pentecost of their conversion, that something changed in these men on this day. You can read about this in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 46. You'll see an example of that. There's two more questions I have for you. Number four, why should we desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit today? Well, just as then, students, God desires it, the Bible commands it. The same verse that tells us not to get drunk with wine tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can see Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And besides, the Holy Spirit brings us the benefits that our study guide talks with us about in our chart on page 101. Read through that chart and see some of the benefits or the gifts that come with receiving the Holy Spirit in your life. It's very important for us. Our final question we're going to look at today is, if you are a member of Christ's body, you have a gift for ministry. What do you think is your ministry gift? And so I want you to take a look at Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8, which mentions seven ministry gifts, including leadership. Now, we may not all be leaders, but we all can serve others. We can all show mercy. We can all encourage fellow believers. We can all give to the needy and perhaps teach and prophesy also. In other words, when God empowers us, He gives us, each and every person, power to do something in His church, to witness about Him in some unique and distinct way that is empowered by God. So as we conclude this week's lesson review, from Lesson 5, The Holy Spirit, a Wise Administrator, we can see that this is a very personal lesson because it may not be the same for each person. The work of the Holy Spirit is extremely important to each and every believer, for it affects our relationship to Christ and our progress in our Christian growth. So I urge you, students, to take note of these two scripture verses. First, make note of Luke chapter 11, verse 13, which states that our Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And secondly, make note of Acts chapter 5, verse 32, which tells us that God has given the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. So we see we must obey the Word, and we must ask for this baptism if we wish to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So as we conclude this week, saints, let us pray. Let us pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that Your Holy Spirit will help each student, each staff member to honor the Holy Spirit, that You will help us to have full control of our understanding as You empower us, that we can yield our lives to You and You will give us direction and wisdom and guidance. And we pray right now, Father, for each person who has a desire and a longing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that You will grant this gift to them based on their faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, them being baptized in His name for the remission of their sins, which opens up the door for Your Spirit to come inside. So I pray for this gift to be granted to them now. Empower us to greater works and service in Your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To the glory of the Father. Amen. Bless the Lord, saints of God. Again, students, thank you. We've studied Session 5 of the course, Cornerstones of Truth, The Holy Spirit, a Wise Administrator. May you take time to meditate upon these lesson, seek God in a personal way for Him to manifest Himself to you. In the meantime, I love each and every one of you. God bless you and prosper you. And good night.